It's good to be here. Some of you may not know me. If you do not know me, my name is Topolu Kemi. I'm one of the elders here at Community Church. The reason why you don't see me here more often in Chafford is because I'm usually at the South Ockenden site. So my family's there today. My wife and two of my older boys are there. My younger son came with me today, and he's gone down to kids' work. So we're going to be continuing our series this morning. I know everything we're talking about, like this first part of the year, is about being passionately involved disciples of Jesus. And the first bit that we're looking at is being passionate about Father. You know, if we say that we want to be passionately involved disciples of Jesus, we can't be passionate if we don't really know the person that we want to be passionate about. You know, it's like two people, husband and wife, are involved in a relationship. There can't be any passion if they don't really know each other. You know, passion starts from the place of knowing that person that you want to, that you desire to be passionate about. So we're going to be talking today about passionate about Father. We've talked a bit over the past few weeks about different aspects of our Father. And today we're going to be looking at His provision. So passionate about Father, talking about His provision. Now the text is a short text, one verse. That's what we're going to be. We're going to look at other verses as well. But I think this is the key text for us today, and it's from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 19. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, and this is Paul writing a letter to the Philippians. And in verse 19, this is what Paul says. It says, "And my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." It says, "And my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." You know, looking at this, this is probably one of the great promises of Scripture. Now, it's a great promise because there is so many other promises. There's so much that is embedded in this verse. You know, Paul says, "My God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Now, there are lots of fundamental things that Paul is saying here that we, God's people, children of our Father in heaven, that we need to understand. I guess the first thing that kind of jumps out at me in this verse is that Paul is not saying that my God will provide some of your needs. He's not saying that my God will provide a few of your needs, maybe He'll provide 80% of your needs. No. He's saying that my God will supply all your needs. And that's something really important that we need to hold on to. The fact that we have this guarantee, this assurance in Scripture that Paul's God, who also happens to be my God, will supply all of our needs. Then he doesn't say that my God can supply all your needs. You know, he's not saying that my God has the ability to supply all your needs. And as and when, maybe as the whim takes him, he might choose to supply all your needs. No, he's saying that my God will supply all your needs. There's this kind of assurance. There's something definite about the fact that my God will supply all your needs. Then we can look at the person who's doing the providing, who's supplying the needs, and that's God. And Paul personalizes it. He doesn't say, "and God can supply." He says, "my God, the God who I believe in, the God that I have this relationship with, can supply all of your needs." You know, my God, you know, that me as this Jewish scholar, my God that I read about in the Old Testament, the New Testament, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who brought His people through the Red Sea, who brought them into the Promised Land, you know, the God who brought deliverance after deliverance for the children of Israel, provided for them, gave them manna, this same God will supply all of your needs. That's what Paul is saying in this verse here. And how does he do it? He supplies all of your needs, all of our needs, according to His riches. So He doesn't supply our needs according to my ability to work hard. He doesn't supply needs according to my ability or my intellect or my ability, my power to make money. No, it doesn't depend on that. He does it according to His riches. And he doesn't do it out of his riches. It's according to his riches. So that means that no matter how great the need, the God that I serve is able to meet that need. I know sometimes we believe that some needs, as Christians, we're sometimes going to two camps. We believe that some needs are too small to bring to God. We say, oh no, that's just small, that's mine, I don't need to bring it to God. But Paul is saying that my God will supply that small need that you think is insignificant because he cares about the small need. It's part of all of your needs. And sometimes we feel that the need is so big, so great, so massive, that because we cannot conceive in our minds how this need can be met, again, we kind of feel that, can God really do this? But if we truly know the God that we serve, if we truly understand who our Father is, then we will know that according to his riches, he can indeed supply all our needs. And then Paul kind of underlines it, kind of the signature on the bottom of this promise that all of this is in Christ Jesus. So the reason why God does all of this is because of Christ. Because of what we celebrated this morning, communion, the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is why God is going to supply all of your needs. It's not necessarily about how good a person you are. Although it is good that we, obey God, obey his commandments. So I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. But ultimately, it comes down to the fact that Christ has done it. And Christ is the guarantor of this promise that God will supply all of our needs. You know, there's something here that Paul wants to understand, that he's our Father. God is our Father. And because he's our Father, he will provide for us. Now, intentionally, at the beginning, I didn't go over what we've done the past few weeks, but I want to kind of ask now. So, can anybody remind me, over the past few weeks, what have we learnt about our Father? Anyone, what have we learnt? What did we learn in the first week? First week. That he is our Father. Second week. That he's sovereign. We learnt that our Father is sovereign. Third week. Somebody who is not Helen. Third week. Third week. Healing. Faithful, faithfulness, that our Father is faithful. You know, when he says it, he will do it. Then about his sovereignty, that the Father, our God, he is sovereign. And then healing, yep, and creation, that our Father is creator. So if we know that God is our Father, we know that he's faithful, he's sovereign, he's a healer, he's a creator. And we know that everything he says, the promises, he will keep them. Then why do we doubt? Why do we get anxious about our needs? You know, why do we worry about our needs? And I'm speaking to people here. I'm sure some of you are here today and you are worrying about some of those bills you have to pay. You're worrying about the mortgage payments. Maybe you're worrying about your job. But if God is all of these things to us, if our Father is all of these things to us, then why do we worry? Why do we get anxious about our daily needs? Why do we do that? And interestingly, Jesus, he had an answer to that question. Well, not the answer, but he had the solution, the cure for that question. You know, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But Jesus begins to kind of break it down. And he says, the first thing he says there, he says, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you will eat. Don't worry about what you will drink, about your body, what you will wear. And the fun thing that sits, that kind of screams out to me is that even the physical needs, the basic things that we need for life, God cares about them. And Jesus commands us not to worry about them. Then he talks about the birds and the flowers, creation, that God looks after creation. And so if God looks after creation, why will he not look after you? If God feeds the birds of the air, if God feeds the young lions, if he clothes the flowers, then why will this same God not look after you who is created in his image, in his likeness. And then he says, do not worry. Don't worry. But even though Jesus commands us not to worry, we still worry. And the reason why we worry is that because many times we don't get our priorities right. That's why we worry. You know, Jesus talks about the pagans and he says, do not be like the pagans who are concerned about what they're going to eat, what they're going to drink, and what they're going to wear. But as children of your Father, what you should do is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things will be provided for you. Now, he doesn't say we should seek for the kingdom, because he's not speaking to unbelievers. He's speaking to people who are already converted, believers in God's kingdom. And what he's saying to us is that as citizens of the kingdom, that we need to make the interests of the kingdom our first priority. You know, we need to make what concerns our Father in heaven our priority as well here. But where we get into a muddle, where we may get things wrong, is that we make everything else the priority, and God is kind of relegated. He's put in a position, put in second place, sometimes put all the way back. But Christ is saying that when we make him the priority, then he is going to provide for all of those needs. All those things, everything else, says, or everything else will be added onto you. Everything else will be provided for. All these things that we're chasing after, they'll be provided for when we make God the priority. You know, the key to not being anxious is to keep our eyes fixed on him. The key to not being anxious is to look for his glory. The key to not being anxious is to look for what's going to advance his kingdom. The key to not being anxious is to make our Father's business our business. That is the key. And when we do that, then we get into this place where we will not be anxious for anything. Because we know deep down in our hearts that when God's business is our business, he takes care of everything else. You know, God is the ultimate source. So seeking him can never be wrong. You know, the job is not your source. The job is something that God uses to meet the need, but the job ultimately is not the source. You know, your network, if you're a business person, that is not your source. The fact that you happen to know this person or that person or have access to these different places, that is not the source. It's the God who brings those people around you, who opens the door. He is the source. And so when we make the person who is sovereign, faithful, steadfast, our source, when we understand that and we seek him first, then we don't get anxious. But yes, if you make the job your source, if the job is your priority, and you think by working harder, smarter, you will meet your needs, then what happens when the job goes? Of course you begin to worry. Because everything, every hope, you've placed it in that job. What happens if for some reason this year the business doesn't make as much as it made last year? Yes, you begin to shake, you begin to quake. Why? Because you've put all your hopes in what you should not be putting your hope in. When you put your hope in God, when you seek first his kingdom, when you have your priorities right, then you know that even if tomorrow there is no job, you still trust in God because you know that the God who provided that job can provide another one. And even if he does not provide another one, his promises say that he will provide and meet every one of your needs. That is what we need to do as God's people. That's how we need to get our priorities right with God. You know, probably another way of putting this is for me to ask the question, what is the deepest root of your joy? Do you have more joy in the giver or do you have more joy in the gift? Is your joy found in the giver or is your joy found in the gift? Now, if you're a parent here, imagine giving your child a present and your child takes so much joy in the present, loves the present, but doesn't have that same love for you as a parent. Because their joy is in what they get and their joy is not in you, the one who provides. And that's how it is for many of us, that our joy is in what we get from God. So when we get that good job, have that nice house, get that nice car. Yay! We rejoice. We rejoice because, yes, God has come through. But when those things aren't there, you know, when those things kind of, we don't get those things, the things that we want, we desire, then the joy just seems to fade away. But that's not how it should be, because our deepest joy should be in God. That even if all we had was God, we would still rejoice. You know, the Bible says in your presence, in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. It doesn't say in the presence of an abundance of wealth, there is fullness of joy. No. In the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. And we need to keep our eyes fixed on Him. He needs to be our priority. And this also should change our perspective about, you know, the things that God brings in and uses to meet those needs. Because this should help us understand that actually the job is not primarily there for me to meet my needs. The job is primarily there for me to advance the kingdom of my Father. So you take a different attitude, a different mindset to work. So at work, you're looking for opportunities to advance God's kingdom. You're looking for that opportunity to pray for someone and see God's power come into a situation. You're looking for that opportunity to share the gospel, to witness to people at work, because you understand that actually I'm here to advance my Father's kingdom. And the fact that this job happens to pay me a salary that meets my needs is just one of the side effects, one of the fringe benefits, as it were. But the primary thing is to advance the kingdom of God, my Father. Now, one thing that Paul says in Philippians 4:19 is that my God will supply all your needs according to His riches. And a question we might ask ourselves is that, are we supplied with all that we need? Is that true? You know, does God supply us with everything that we need? Is there anybody here that can say that God supplies them with everything that they need? A few people. And I hope you're not just being super spiritual about this, but you are genuinely saying that, yes, I know, I'm not being as very, well, you are being spiritual, but not, you know what I mean, not super spiritual, but you are saying that God supplies all of your needs. And I think the answer to that question, are we supplied with all of our needs, it's actually kind of, in the definition of how do we define all that we need? You know, what's our definition of everything that we need? And I think that's where the problem comes, because sometimes, you know, the things that we feel that we need, that we believe that we need, are not the things that we actually need. And it's interesting that Jesus, going back to Matthew chapter 6, he says that your heavenly Father knows that you need them. God knows our needs. So He supplies our needs. And the question is that when we see that maybe some needs are not being met, are those the things that we truly need? You know, Hudson Taylor, who was a missionary to China, he said that God's work done in God's way will always receive God's supply. God's work done in God's way will always receive God's supply. Now, sometimes we are not doing God's work at all. So we're already in a bad place. Sometimes we're doing God's work, but we're not actually doing it in the way God wants us to do it. And so we're looking for the need, we're looking for the supply, but it's not there. But the assurance is when we do His work in His way, then He will always supply. He will always provide. And, you know, everything that we need to glorify God, to do His will supply. All we need to do is seek Him first, live under His kingly rule, and live under His kingly reign. And I think as a church, everyone here can testify at different times that God has met needs. And, you know, the thing about God is that He's also an on-time God. And yes, sometimes He doesn't meet the need at the time of our choosing, but He will always meet the need at the time of His choosing. But then we also might look at the fact that actually we might look within the church and there are people who are in need. And that's always been happening. Even in the early church, in Acts, we read about the fact that there were people in the church who were in need. But then those times come up for us, His body, to rise up and to care for one another. So in the early church, Acts chapter 2, verse 45, we read about how they all came together and had everything in common. And nobody lacked. Why? Because those who had sold what they had to provide for those who didn't have. So I never want to be part of a church where some people, you know, have an abundance and some people lack. No, because those who have an abundance should be helping those who are in a place of lack. It's not a time to be pompous or a time to condemn. And likewise, if we are in a place where we are in need, it's not something to be ashamed about. It is not. And I think one of the biggest things that holds us back is that when we are in a place of need, we sometimes feel that this is a place of shame, but it isn't. It's a place to reach out to our brothers and our sisters, trust that nobody's going to put us to shame, nobody's going to condemn us, and people will surround us in love and lift us up out of that place. That's what it's all about. And ultimately, and I believe that God in this world provides for us, but the fullness of his provision won't come until eternity. That's when we're going to enjoy the fullness of everything that God has for us. You know, we have to remember that life is fleeting. Everything that we see is just for a time, just for a season. And we enjoy the fullness of God when we get to eternity. You know, everything we experience now in this world is just a drop in the ocean. And that's why you'd see someone like Paul, who would seemingly go through periods of lack, periods of suffering. Why? Because he knew that it was all for a greater good, a greater purpose. And everything he went through in this world was nothing compared to surpassing glory of being with his Savior in eternity. So it's in eternity that we will enjoy the fullness of God's provision. And it's in eternity that some of the things we experience here, some of the questions we have here, it's in eternity that ultimately everything will make sense and everything will all come together. You know, God is a great provider. And because he's a great provider, he doesn't want his children to be anxious about anything. So as I just kind of bring everything, conclude this morning, because my question to us today, my question to myself today, is that what are those things that I'm trying to achieve in my own strength that I should be looking to God as my source? You know, what are those things that I'm trying to do by working harder, trying to work smarter, maybe trying to learn more, acquire more skills, but actually I should be seeking God first? You know, am I in that place where these things are drawing me away from God? When was the last time I was at the corporate prayer meeting? Or has kind of work consumed my life to the point that I don't have time to be with God's people in prayer? I don't have time to attend life group during the week. I don't have time to seek God's kingdom first because I'm seeking everything else. And listen, I'm not saying this morning that all of us should suddenly, you know, go to work tomorrow, resign and give up our jobs. No, but give those things their rightful place and give God his rightful place. That's important for us as God's children. And trust that as you do that, he will provide for all those other things that you need. Your physical needs, spiritual needs, emotional needs, that God will provide them all. You know, what are you spending the best of yourself on? What are you spending the best of yourself on? Because you should be spending the best of what you have, the best of yourself, you should be spending it on God. You know, God is a provider, a God who supplies needs. And as a church, we can testify individually and even collectively of how God meets needs. I'm going to ask Lydia to come up now, just to share. You know, one of the things that we do as a church is the 180 Project, you know, where, you know, I believe that God uses us to meet needs out there in the community. And that's really important. You know, in life group this week, somebody asked the question that when God says that we're made in his image and likeness, just how far does that go? And one of the answers was that, you know, that being made in God's image is to show the world who our God is. So being made in God's image, when we talk about our God being a provider, is to show the world that our God can provide, that our God can meet needs. I'm just going to ask Lydia to just tell us, give us a few examples in the 180 about needs that God has met.
Morning, Chair.
It's on, yes.
Yes, it's on. I just wanted to share with you, my name's Lydia and I'm the family support worker for the 180 Project, and just had some experiences of God's provision for some of the families in the community that I work with. There was a situation last year when we had the beast from the east, awful snow. Someone made their way to my home. They walked through the snow and knocked on my door and said, "I really feel God's asked me to give you some money for a family who might be struggling in this cold weather." So I took the money, and then later that, I think it was that day, I found out about a family that couldn't afford to put any more money on their meter for heating. So I was able to go to that family and give them that money that was given to me so they could put money on their heating meter and warm their home. And that was just an example of how God cares about people. And he knew that what that person needed and supplied that need through someone from this church. So that was really encouraging. There was another situation where somebody came to me and again felt God had prompted them to give me some money, and it was just the right amount that one of my families needed for a doctor's letter that they needed, and they couldn't afford to pay for this doctor's letter, and the money covered that as well. So just want to encourage you that listening to the Lord and just responding to him when he prompts you to give, and that might be to 180 or it might be to something else, but just really want to encourage you in that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Lydia. Thank you. I know our giving, what we give, is also a response. It's as a response to our generous God. It kind of shows whether we actually see God as our provider. It does show that. The way we give, the amount we give, all those things point to how we see God when it comes to his provision. You know, when Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians, if we go a few verses before, we actually realize that the Philippian church had contributed a lot to meeting Paul's needs as he went out on ministry. And so some of them probably contributed from meager resources that they had. And Paul, you know, giving them this word of encouragement is that no matter how you give, from what position you give, understand that my God will provide for all your needs. He will meet your needs. Now, sometimes giving can be a challenge. It can be a challenge to give. When you look at everything that you need to sort out, and then it can be a challenge to give to God. But the encouragement this morning is that even when it's a challenge to give, trust that God will continue to provide for all of your needs. You know, and trust that God, as you give, he's using you to meet other needs, like the needs that Lydia just mentioned in the 180 Project. You know, there are a few other, you know, things about 180. I talked to Elle before this message. And, you know, there's a family that needs bunk beds. They need a mattress. And, again, that's something where, you know, God might be stirring up some of us here to contribute towards that. You know, the mattress has to be a new mattress because of health and safety. But the bunk bed, it can either be a new one, or you, if you have one, then you can give it. And if you have that, then please, do all of you know Elle? Do you know Elle? That's Elle. If you see, heads up our 180 Project. So talk to Elle if that's a need that you can meet. You know, another need that we are kind of addressing as a church is through the MADE course that we run in this school as community church. And that's kind of helping young people, many of them who have maybe disengaged from education. They don't really see the point of it. It's kind of engaging them, giving them, letting them understand who they are, building up their self-esteem, so that they can know that there is a purpose for them in life. And that's something that's really blessed this school. I think the first cohort graduated in December. And there are many other schools out there that would benefit from this. There's a lot of need out there, especially amongst young people in our different communities. And that's one thing, that's another area where, you know, God might be wanting to use us to support the MADE Project. Support them in prayer. You know, praying that, you know, God would help, because one thing is we need resources. We want to go to other schools. We need resources. And I know they're looking to partner with businesses, and just pray that, Lord, lead them to the right people, lead them to the right businesses that can provide these resources, that we can meet the needs in the lives of these young people. And again, if that's something you want to know more about, you can talk to Elle or you can talk to Michelle, who is sitting over there. You know, there's so much that God has for us, so much that he wants his people to do. And it's, yes, there's a big part of it about God being our provider and meeting our own needs. But I think there's also a big part of it as well of us showing to the world that the God that we serve is a God that can meet needs. And that might be a small way. It might be just helping out a neighbor. You know, maybe you've got an elderly neighbor and their need is that they need their lawn mowed. Then you just go over one weekend, one Saturday, and just help them. Just help them mow that lawn. Maybe somebody needs a meal. You know, they can't provide a meal for themselves, and God leads you to just help and provide that meal. You know, let's be open to how God wants to use us in the lives of others. You know, James in James 2:15 says, if a brother or sister is without clothes and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, stay warm, be well and fed, but you don't give them what the body needs, what good is it? You know, what good sometimes are our prayers when we have what is needed to meet that need? You know, somebody comes up to you and says, you know, I'm hungry. And you say, oh, brother, I pray that God will bless you. He'll feed you. Go in peace. But actually, you've got a lot in your house that can meet that need of hunger that your brother or sister has. You know, that's not the kind of people that God has called us to be. You know, our Father is a provider, and he calls us to kind of also show that generous heart, that generous spirit, his generosity to the world around us. And I am ending the sermon now, but I don't want to end without saying this. The greatest need that anybody has is the need for salvation. That is the greatest need. The greatest need. And it's wonderful that God has made provision for that need. You know, in Genesis chapter 22, when Abraham was taking up his son Isaac, tested by God, God asked him to sacrifice his son. And then Abraham took him to the mountain, placed him on the altar, about to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. God told him to stop. Then Abraham looks over in the bush. There's a ram caught by his horns. Then Abraham names that place Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Abraham didn't say the Lord has provided. It says the Lord will provide. Because he was looking forward to a time when the Lord was going to provide his son, Jesus Christ, as the substitute for me and you on that cross. And so if you're here today and you know that you have that need for salvation, then after the service, you know, please come and talk to me or talk to Tulu or talk to Carlton. And, you know, let's start this journey, this wonderful journey, a journey that we've been on for many years and a journey that we can testify is a good journey. Why? Because we have a good Father. And our good Father would love to become your good Father today. Let's pray.